Thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
Promises don't mean much to us if they never are fulfilled. But this is one of the reasons why I love the promises of God. He stands behind every single promise to fulfill it. He never fails. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise." Now, I think that's exceeding probably in number. There's a whole lot of them. But there are also promises that are exceed in greatness, and they are precious. And that by these we become partakers of divine nature. Another verse comes in 2 Corinthians, and it says, "The promises of God are yes and amen." Now, I don't know if you go to a church that says amen out loud or not. It's okay if they do, provided it's at the right spot. It's sort of like an accent to the preacher's sermon, you know. And in fact, why don't you go ahead and give your pastor a good amen this Sunday morning when he says something from the Scriptures that's good. If he says anything from the Scriptures, it's going to be good. So there's lots of good spots for the amen. That word amen means, so let it be. The promises are yes, and so let them be unto us from God. God wants His promises to come true for each of us. Now, every promise, however, has a premise. There's a condition attached. I think the biggest little word in the English language is the word if. If is the hinge upon which the gates of heaven swing. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, Jesus said. And if a man will deny himself, and if someone will follow me, if. Because when you do the if, the rest that follows always occurs. Now, let's look at the definition of a premise. A premise is a previous statement or a condition or a proposition from which another one is inferred or follows as a natural conclusion. So there's this special group of promises that I want to talk about today called promises from the secret place. And those promises have a specific premise to them. Here's the premise. Look at it with me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God. That is the premise. Dwelling in the secret place. Now let's get a couple of things really straight. Number one, your relationship with God is a secret. Nobody knows what your relationship with God is really like. It's a secret. Person can, you know, we know some people don't have a relationship with God because there's stuff in their life that indicates that. But a person can do the things that a Christian does. Go to church, pay his tithes, smile, speak kindly to people, do good works, and we still don't know what their real relationship with God is like because a person's relationship with God is a secret. It's a secret because it's invisible. It's invisible because God is invisible. Your relationship with Him cannot be monitored, cannot be viewed by a television screen or caught with a microphone or camera. Whether you walk with God and whether you spend time with God or not is a secret. Now, these promises that are before us, these promises that come from the secret place, the premise is that we dwell in the secret place. These promises are not to every believer, but they are to those who live in a close relationship with the Lord. Now, some people come to the secret place and then leave again. Some visit God. Well, maybe driven by need or crises or tragedy. Some may even enjoy their visits with God, but they leave him and they go on their way. And, oh yeah, I should have a meeting with God again. And they have another encounter with God. And so they have these periodic encounters with God. These promises are not for that kind of a relationship with God. These promises that come from the secret place come to those who dwell there, those who stay close to him. And if you will stay close to him in this secret place, and nobody will really know it because it's a secret, it's invisible. These promises are rare and they contain very special benefits. It's not for those who follow the Lord from afar off. It's for those who dwell in the secret place. Look at this verse. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Look at this. God dwells with people. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he shall be their God. But see, he dwells. God dwells with people. These promises come to those who dwell and stay in that secret place. That's why you never go any place without God. And that's why you can pray without ceasing, because you always have this secret relationship. Nobody else can know it. You can be in the middle of writing an exam. Good news for you high school students and college students. And he's there. You can be busy in your work and he's there. And you can consult him at any split moment because you live and dwell in his presence. Now, not only is this the premise of the promise, but there has to be a profession of the promise too. Look at this next verse. I will say of the Lord. We need to profess this promise. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. The promise is secured by speaking it. Now, for you to become a genuine Christian required you not just to believe, but you had to say something with your mouth. Look at this verse. For with the heart you believed unto righteousness with God, but with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Saying what you say is very important. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And so in order to become a genuine Christian, you had to say, Jesus is my Lord. You had to confess his lordship in your life. And so it is with these promises. Look at this. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust? Okay, well, let's find out what the promises are, because we have 9 delightful promises from the secret place. If you will live, if you will stay in that secret relationship with God all the time, these 9 promises will come true for you all the time and every time. Number one, the first is the promise of deliverance. Look at this. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Look at this. The snare of the fowler. Another verse that we sing a lot. And my soul escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. It's somebody who's trying to capture a trick, catch a bird in a cage. And you probably know that there is this going on. There is someone who is against you. He's called Satan. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he comes to trick you, to get you off the track and the path of life onto another path. He uses all kinds of tricks. But look at this. To the person who stays in the secret relationship with God all the time, God says, I will deliver you from everyone, every devil, every demon, every person that is used by devil and demon to trick you. There will be no surprises. God will deliver you from the snare that may come your path. Now look at this. He promised also to deliver us from the noisome pestilence. Now notice this word noisome, because this is audible. God promises deliverance from something you can hear. You know what it is? Do you know what the greatest pest is? Voices that tell you wrong things. Voices that entice you, voices that tell you you're no good, that you're an accident, that you don't count, that you'll never be anything. Noisome pestilence. God, see, if we stay in the secret place, the first promise is deliverance, not just from the enemy trying to trick us and get us off path, but he's going to deliver us from all those voices, those fiery darts of the enemy. They are thoughts that come at us, that we hear, that are always trying to destroy us. God promises. The first promise is the promise to deliver. The second promise is protection. In fact, look at the scripture. He will cover thee. He will cover thee with his feathers. And look at this. And under his wings shalt thou trust. He shall be thy truth, shield and buckler. He promises protection. Oh, one of the best stories I think I've ever heard is on the great prairie states. Prairie fire swept across and burned everything in its path. And back in those frontier days, people got in there on their horses and in their carts drawn by the horses, and they fled from the fire. And then they would come back after the fire had driven by wind across those flatlands, destroyed everything. One farmer's wife came back, and arm in arm, they walked through the field, and they looked at the charred remains where once the house had stood, and the black fence posts were like deathly silhouettes against the evening sky. And as the farmer and his wife walked along, he happened to look down, and there he saw on the ground was one of his old faithful hens, burned to death, feathers blackened. And in a kindly gesture, he walked over, and with his foot, he just gave a little push on the old hen, and the hen flopped over. It was dead, of course, but underneath were a whole lot of little live baby chickens, because mother had given her life. Do you know Jesus said this? Oh, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered thee under my arms like a hen doth gather her chicks. Well, this promise of protection is for you. Now look at this. Not only does God promise to protect you, but he says the truth. That's why we study nothing but the truth here. His truth shall shield you. Protection, the second promise that comes from the secret place. And then the third promise is the promise of courage. Awesome. Thou shalt not be afraid. Never be afraid. You see, fear has torment, the scripture said. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. The promise of courage, you will never have fear that comes in the nighttime or in the daytime. The rest of the verse says, not even the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that comes in the middle of the day. You will not fear any of that. You know why? Because you're abiding in the secret place. And there isn't anything coming your way that this wonderful being of God won't deliver you from, protect you from, and give you courage to overcome it. And then he promises safety. There may be people all around you falling, like this verse says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see what happens to everybody else. You know, it can be very shattering to see failure happening all around us. People backslide. They appear to lose out with God and go back. If they ever did walk the right way, they are not now. But the promise of safety. I want you to know that this wonderful person of God who has started this good work in you will continue to perform. He's going to keep you safe. It's the promise of safety. It comes to those who dwell in the secret place. Then the promise of security. Here it is. Because thou hast made the Lord thy refuge. Remember? The secret place. Even the Most High God. Look at this word. Thy habitation, the dwelling place where you stay there all the time. Because of that, look at the next verse. No evil shall happen to you, and no plague shall come nigh your dwelling place. Talk about eternal security. Here it is to those who dwell in the secret place. And then he promises help. That's good news. Look at this. He shall give his angels charge over thee. Remember, we probably taught it before. You don't get to commission angels, God does. They do God's will. He commissions them, and he will give his angels charge over thee to help you. Look at this. Over to keep thee in all thy ways, whatever it is that you need help in. And in fact, look at this. They will bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Have you ever wondered why something evil or bad or tragic didn't happen to you when it seemed like all the circumstances around it should have? When I was a little boy, I had a paper route, and it was a big route on the weekends. People wanted the weekend paper, not the daily paper, and it was always a whole lot thicker. And I lived in that time in the frozen north. After fresh snow, I was pulling a toboggan with all my papers on a snowbank right against next to the road. And the ditch was piled high with snow, and I'll never forget that afternoon. When I slipped on the snowbank and I fell down the snowbank onto the road where the traffic was, there was no space between the wheels and the ditch. I mean, we were narrow because there was so much snow. And I looked up and saw tires, and I was untouched and unscathed. And I should have rolled right out in front of those guys, but I did. Something stopped me. God promises to help, and he sends angels to do that. And then God promises the victory. Look at the scripture. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. You shall trample under your feet. Now, this promise of victory is over all the power of the enemy. Look at this next verse. Jesus gave us this promise. He said, I'm going to give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And look at this. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. To those who dwell in the secret place, God promises victory over every devil and every demon. There is not an evil spirit that has the ability to mess up your life. God has promised you power and you the victory over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. And then, for those who dwell in the secret place, God promises honor. Now, this to me is one of the most amazing promises of God. Look at the scripture. This is God speaking now in this verse. Because he has set his love upon me. Oh, let's stop there for a moment. Do you know why we dwell in the secret place? It's because we have learned to love God. You see, to know him is to love him. He is so wonderful that when you find out what God is really like, you will not be able to prevent yourself from saying, wow, God, oh, you are so wonderful. To know him is to love him. And it's because we know him and love him that we spend time with him. And God's saying here, because you have set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver you. Look at this. I will set you on high. What a promise. Because he hath known my name, because we know his name. Now look at this. And we will call upon him, and God promises he will answer us, and he will be with us in trouble, and he will deliver us. And look at this. And God says that he will honor us. Now, I understand the created honoring the creator, and well, we should. I understand us singing about God. I understand honoring God. But it's a little bit beyond me to comprehend that God would give honor unto us, the creator, honoring the created. Sounds like God, doesn't it? This wonderful being, this loving personality of God who's in charge of the whole universe. You see, it's nobody but God who can take a woman of the streets messed up, spoiled, soiled, tattered, torn, devastated, used up by men and the society. And that was such a woman that came to Jesus. She had devils, and he got rid of the devils. And Mary became one of his most devout followers. And when the disciples had fled from the cross, guess who was there? Mary was there. God takes us, cleans us up, renews us, salvages us, if you please, saves us, redeems us. Oh, what a redeemer he is. But he doesn't just forgive you. He does forgive you, but he doesn't just forgive you. He forgives you and he cleanses you. He washes the sin away. He doesn't just forgive the sin, he cleanses it away. But God doesn't just forgive you and just cleanse you. Do you know what he does? He takes away the shame of the old life. He honors anybody who spends time in this secret place of the Most High God will be honored by God. It's the promise of those who spend time. Imagine being honored by God. And then God promises us life. He says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's look at this scripture for a moment. You see, God doesn't want your life to be a duration or a contest, to see an endurance contest. He promises to satisfy you with life. And the life is going to be a long one, and it's going to all be satisfying. The whole thing. God wants you satisfied all of your life. To those who live in his presence and with the knowledge of him, he says he will give them life, long life. How long? Watch it now. Because what he does after talking about this long life that implies this long earthly life in this first part of the scripture here, now God comes, says, and I will also show him my salvation. And when you understand the salvation of God, how long is life? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Oh, that great scripture that says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. The promise of life. Jesus said it in John 10:10, I'm come that you might have life, that your life might be abundant life, but not just that. He says, I have come that you might have forever life. It comes to those who dwell in this secret place. These promises are very, very special. They are the promises that come from dwelling in the secret place. And what are they? There are nine of them in number. Number one, the promise of deliverance, the promise of protection, the promise of courage, the promise of safety, the promise of security, the promise of help, the promise of victory, the promise of honor, and the promise of life. All of these promises are specifically for you if, and for me, if you and I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. In closing, let me be personal and intimate with you in this respect. Are you walking with God? Do you just visit him once in a while, or do you dwell with him? Is God in all your thoughts? Is there any separation? Then I want to suggest that if there is, that we close this gap and learn to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, dwell in the Spirit, and live in the presence of God. Because you can carry on this secret relationship with God no matter what else is happening in your life. And it's because you're in that secret place that you will receive all of these promises. They will come true for you. And in that secret place, God will guide you. He will instruct you. He'll warn you. And, you know, God doesn't just come at us with a big bat and beat us for when we do wrong. In fact, I've never known him to do that. What God does for me in the secret place that's so important for me is he says, well done. When you've done well, you will get the affirmation of God. There is no substitute for being shut in with God in the secret place. There in his presence, beholding his face. Like the songwriter said, gaining new power to run in life's race, I long to be shut in with God.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.